love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened doors to wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings, dutyampi tatyampi saha, again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self another, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. Taking a moment to check in with your posture. Sitting on the front one-third of your cushion. Pushing up with the crown of your head. Just
slightly tucks your chin. Shoulders and the belly are relaxed. Left hand cradled inside of the right with the knuckles meeting. Thumbs lightly touching to create an oval with your hands. Using the counting to assist you in keeping the attention here on the breath. At the bottom of the exhalation, counting one. And on the next exhalation, two. Reach 10, coming back to 1. soon as you realize the attention has wandered, no need for judgment, just gently come back to one, beginning to count again. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. Practice. If you'd like to get a back jack back in the corner, you're most welcome to do that now. So this morning is an open group discussion, a chance to talk about whatever you're looking at in your practice these days. So what shall we look at this morning?
I'll try to talk
loud. I can hear you loud and clear so far.
I'm in the process of I guess you would say breaking a habit that really functions like an addiction.
Uh-huh.
And it's really interesting. It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm just so aware that self-hate talked me into the addiction to begin with.
Uh-huh.
Beat me up for being addicted.
Mm-hmm.
And now is just slamming me because it's hard to break addiction.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you've got this habit that actually you would classify as an addiction.
Yeah.
So we can say it's a really, really, really well-worn habit.
Yeah.
Such that when you decide that it's no longer serving you, it sounds like, I would imagine.
Yes.
And think, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. You realize that all this time you've been getting talked into this habit, this addiction, and then now that you decide you don't want to do it anymore, that very same thing is coming in to beat you up for, well, why is it so hard to get to let the addiction go?
And it's right on the edge of funny.
Yeah. It's funny here in this group when you can get a little distance from it. Yeah, maybe at home when you're in the middle of actually trying not to do the thing.
Yeah.
Not as funny.
Not as funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of voices about that I've heard other people say, but particularly people who are trying to quit smoking, which blessedly was never a problem for me, but I've heard people say, my God, what will that do with my time?
Right.
life will just be flat.
Flat.
And that's what I'm hearing about this. And, you know, without practice, it would be really easy to believe it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's easy to believe it as it is.
Right, right. To believe, if I'm following, to believe that without this, whatever it is, this behavior taking
it's a huge distraction.
It's a huge
time-consuming distraction is
okay.
What it is.
So
without that,
yeah.
I have all this dead time.
Uh-huh.
As if that weren't dead time.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Which might be, I would imagine, a piece of what you're waking up to, really having the motivation to changing the behavior, I would guess, is seeing that is, in a sense, dead time.
Yes.
What's happening in that period of time when you do that thing is not life.
It's not life.
Living in the way that you want to live.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
In your grammar class, the email class that we're doing, I see others of my particular Indian time.
Uh-huh.
Talking about exactly the same thing.
Okay.
This isn't new. I've seen this for a while.
Uh-huh.
And
can we do a quick pause on the Enneagram? Can we do a quick pause on the Enneagram? So
sure.
The Enneagram is a personality typing system that, at least in my experience, goes really, really well with spiritual practice. And there are 9 types. And identifying one's type is very, very handy for being able to see, well, the habits, all the things that we do all the time that just feel like me, but when we realize, oh, there are a lot of other people of my same type who do these very same things, it can be such a handy way to step back and see, well, that's not just who I am, it's just a piece of kind of what's gone on with me forever. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you're seeing, and we're doing an email class about it right now,
yes.
And in that, you're recognizing that people who share your type are expressing very similar things.
Mm-hmm. So, somehow or another, there is, you know, it's a really vicious veteran cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I can only guess that there's just whatever combination of reasons, a willingness now to address it.
Yeah.
So tomorrow the distraction goes away.
Wow.
And I get to see what Salpeter has to say about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because
uh-huh.
You know it's going to come in
uh-huh.
with anything that it can.
Uh-huh.
And the whole point is to sabotage
yeah.
and to cause suffering.
Yeah.
That's just its function.
Yeah.
And it can be so vicious that it's hard for me to.
Yeah.
I kind of want to appease it.
Yeah. So are you saying that something physical is leaving tomorrow so to support you in not doing this anymore?
Yes.
Okay, wow, that's big. And it really goes with what you said just a minute ago, that the recognizing that whatever set of factors are coming together right now, the willingness, the whatever we want to say, is coming together to make that possible. And it seems like in that place, we need to stay so closely focused on that, don't we? Because as you say, all kinds of other information wants to come in to say, well, why is it this hard, and why is it taking this long, and blah, blah, blah. But to stay with, wow, the miracle of all those factors coming together. And we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, not to say anything about the future, but just right now to stay focused on that. And it would seem a tremendous amount of support for yourself as you're making that really big transition.
Yeah, and it really is all about willingness. It's the same thing that kind of fall into this willingness part.
Yeah.
It's exactly
good point. The willingness to be here, the willingness to choose it, the willingness, because, you know, there are a lot of folks who just arrived yesterday and had to do a lot of things to make that happen.
Yeah.
A lot. And here we are. And I'm curious, do you have some supports in place?
Yes, I do.
Excellent.
Superb supports.
Superb supports. Excellent. That's great. And that piece of, you know, signs all over our house or tattoos on our hands or whatever to remind us, I want this. Because, you know, if you're anything like the rest of us, you're going to get however long into it and go, I really don't want this. Right? I really want the thing back. I really do. I really do. You know?
And one of the aspects of it that I've seen, and I'm guessing that this isn't particularly content specific.
Is not.
Well.
Did you say?
Yeah, it's not content specific. Is that it's very much like when I was younger, being in various romantic relationships and breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same set of thoughts.
Wow.
And the same reluctance to face. It's, I don't want to be here in this.
Yeah.
And I don't want to face the, whatever it is, the feelings that are next.
Wow.
And, you know, that whole system is triggered. And so it's really helpful to see that.
It is really helpful. Wow. Yeah. To me,
it's the same. It's giving up the relationship. That was had long outlived its usefulness.
Boy, as you say that, I bet that's true for so many of us on so many levels that, you know, we think of relationship as something between me and another person. But in fact, we're in relationship with all kinds of things. Yeah. And so helpful to see that it is a similar process everywhere. Because to me, it really ups the motivation to use whatever particular content there is in front of me right now to just sit through that process instead of doing all the things we normally do to try to get away from it, because it's that process is running our lives, whatever that process is for each of us.
Yeah.
So might as well sit down right here with this piece of content and really look at it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's avoiding feelings.
Mm-hmm. Avoiding feelings.
Which is what the addiction was intended to do to begin with.
Vicious. Yeah, it is. And if we can just see that, engenders so much compassion for the person going through it.
Yeah, I tend to lose sight of that.
Yeah, we do. And it's a key part. Especially in that, at least in my experience, in that those moments where we're going to go, no, I really do want the thing in it. And no wonder, especially in this case. So if what the avoidance has always been is of feelings, and that the addiction has assisted in being able to avoid those feelings, well, no wonder. And so as the addiction is being let go, a ton of compassion for, you know, what will feel like probably discomfort in all of those feelings arising. And a lot of mentoring of helping, you know, all of that happen, all of that move through. Thank you. So cool. I can't tell if people are just making a show that was really helpful or the whole room has their hands up.
I just want to jump in because, I've been having that same insight about addiction with a process that goes on with me. And And having that experience of bordering on funny this morning, and I saw that...
It's just such a relief when it makes that turns that corner, isn't it? Oh, my God, it's funny.
And fear has, like, been a big process in my life, and has stopped this being from doing a lot.
The fear has stopped you from doing a lot.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I just saw this morning that I'm afraid of being afraid, you know. It's like, wow, you know, and to just step back from that and to have a shift of, like, and instead of, I'm just looking at this, it seems to be an avoiding of maybe good feelings or the feelings that the authentic being would, you know, just life, you know, that life living, it seems to be an avoidance of those kind of feelings. Or
that the fear feels like an avoidance of those kinds of feelings?
Yes, like, an addiction to this other set of feelings that is quite, that dampens the exuberance of life and the joy of life.
And I'll bet you're not supposed to see that. Because it's one of those things when you say it out loud, it's like, well, why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
But we don't usually see it that clearly.
Yeah. So that, what I was just talking about really helped clarify that a bit for me. Mm-hmm. And I have been practicing with, whenever, and it's all kinds of content, where this process arises of just wanting to go to that fear thing. Mm-hmm. And to just say, okay, no, I see myself start to turn away, to not want to have to deal.
To turn away from?
Whatever the content is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, okay, nah, you know, this is...
Not happening, don't want to look there.
Things are starting to come up. I think I'll come back and deal with it later when I'm feeling better or, you know, I'm feeling strong or whatever.
Okay.
And to see that starting to happen, go, no, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to, I want to break the addiction to.
Uh-huh.
There's never going to be a time that I'm going to feel up to it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
And so to just, and to know that I don't have to figure it out or anything, but I just have to know, I just have to pay attention.
Yeah.
What's going on in my body?
Yeah.
You know, what is it that's and to just be with that sensation.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm curious, as you've done that, so I'm guessing with that really strong avoidance, there's a sense of I'm not going to be adequate to that. That's going to feel awful. I'm going to whatever. There's probably some whole sort of story in there of what's going to happen. And so when you have turned straight towards it. Mm-hmm. Have those stories come true?
Never. That's, you know, that's bordering on funny too. I mean, you know, and freeing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like never. And whenever I have indulged those stories, and I have, you know, out of fear.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go on for a long time in fear and imagining what's, you know.
Because if we never stop to check it out, if we're always in this relationship with it, no, I can't later, can't deal, then that story could go on forever because we never turn and look at it to see, well, is that really so?
Yeah. So long of that, of being in that process of fear and the horrible feeling and the, you know, the actually the toll on the body too.
Oh, can you imagine?
Just being in that constant churning state.
Yes. Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not like when you turn away from it, you're just living in bliss and peace,
exactly.
Right? I mean, it's like back there pulling on you all the time. No, it's not there. No, it's not there. No, it's not there.
And how that to just turn and face it. You know, it is. It gives the thing that this being was trying to avoid. You know, it gives. Let's see, that didn't come out right, but it gives the relief.
Yes.
That
Yeah.
It was, she was told that she would have if she didn't deal.
Yes. Boy, mm-hmm. that is so key. Yeah. So, if I'm following what you're saying, the addiction that you're breaking really is to avoidance.
Exactly.
And that in the story, if you can avoid this terrible thing, this hard thing, this scary thing, and come back to it later, you're going to feel some relief right now. And later when you come back, it'll be better. And so you'll get that relief. But what that never happens. It's just this constant, you said, low-grade kind of churning. But that the courage to just turn straight to it and say, no, this is it, that actually provides the relief that you were always promised in the other process.
And the other thing that came up, many years ago I was given a book to read, and the heroine was called Much Afraid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could totally relate to her. And, but the thing is, I was just realizing this morning that too, that Much Afraid got a lot of attention, but there's another player there, and that's the one that's willing to turn mm-hmm. and face it head on. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so it just felt like, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So I think you're saying that you could relate to in the book and then in your own life, that sort of much afraid part of you gets a lot of airtime. But to realize, wait a minute, I also have the willingness and the desire, it sounds like,
yeah.
for this other thing that's going to serve yeah. all of me much, much better, yeah. which is turning and facing it.
Thank you for reflecting on the desire. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing that self-hate will come at me with, telling mm-hmm. me that I don't have the desire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, yeah, that that's somehow lacking, mm-hmm. and sometimes that seems real believable.
Yeah.
But to really realize that's another one of those lies,
yeah.
that in fact is probably the polar opposite from what is the truth.
Yeah.
And to really embrace and know that, you know, I can. Probably would it, but you know, if I think it's not about being comfortable, you know. If I waited till I was comfortable to do everything, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm already on in years, but you know, it's, mm-hmm. it can go on for quite a long time.
So it feels really powerful for you to reconnect with realizing there is the desire
yeah.
for that. It's very much like the first conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
To really, really remember, this is what I want. You know, there are all kinds of other things that I'm talked into wanting, or it seems like I want. But really, when I look to my heart, kind of my authentic center, oh, what I want is much bigger than any of that. And that, yeah, it can feel small because we spend years and years and years ignoring it. But now is our chance to kind of foster that relationship, if you will.
And not only what I want is much bigger, that I am adequate and we're all adequate to having that.
Yes.
There's like no one here yeah. or anywhere that's not adequate to yeah. to having that,
yeah.
embracing that bigness and that kind of life.
Yeah.
We got the equipment.
So now we get to practice using it.
And we get to practice using it.
Yeah. It's got, for most of us, it's got cobwebs on it and
yeah.
it needs to get sharpened
yeah,
a little,
right.
but it's in there and,
exactly.
you know, ready to go. Mm-hmm. And shockingly little needs to be done to it, really.
Shockingly.
When we start to pull it out and use it a few times,
yeah.
those cobwebs fly right off and it gets easier and easier and we want to do it more and more. And And actually, you know, we can't really call it an addiction, but it's a momentum that starts to move in the other direction.
Yes.
You know, those habits, those conditioned addictions have so much momentum to them. But if we can turn and face that scary monster, we realize not nearly as much momentum as we're told they have in our heads.
Exactly.
And we can actually really start to pick up some momentum in the other direction.
Yeah.
Fairly quickly.
It's like you came under the other night, it's the Wizard of Oz thing, and you just pull the
yeah.
curtain aside and you go, oh my god.
That's what I was.
A really little guy with a couple of controls
yeah.
back there, and,
yeah.
I, and you know, and
yeah.
I don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the big trick there, isn't it, is pull back the curtain and realize, oh my god, that little guy, I mean, I don't need to be scared of that guy, whatever, kick back, go unconscious,
yeah.
curtain goes back,
yeah.
his voice is loud again,
And now you can't lose it, now you've seen it for what it is, yeah. And it's lost its power. So. Yeah.
Thank you. Bill?
Yeah, there's a lot, but I probably won't remember hardly any of it. I've been in a process of changing one behavior for another, you know, so one that doesn't serve as
to one that does. It's a good trait.
Yeah, very good. And I saw a couple of things other than, I saw, that was great, you know, what we said so far. But one is that, I mean, if anybody ever needed proof of self-hate, just try something like this. And, you know, it's right there. We know that. But the thing I saw is, you know how if, all right, so we have this bad habit, this habit we don't want, this habit we just grew into, whatever it is. And this...
There's people here in the back?
A little.
So we have these habits that we call bad. They don't serve us. We don't want
them
anymore.
Right, right. And... look at what we're going through to change them.
Right.
I mean, it's just a tremendous effort, effort required.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even when we don't believe them, you know, I'm sitting there doing the new thing and I don't believe the voices, they just keep, you know, well...
They're not going
to
give up.
Right, even to the point of, well, you're not even doing that right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I have to... do anything, I have to say anything. And then just think about the habit or something we want to put in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be the reverse, but we want or we don't want in our life. You do it for once, do it twice, forget once, forget twice, it's out of sight.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I mean, the one is just a huge big deal. The other one is just...
No, the huge big deal, meaning the one, the habit that's been around for a while,
yeah,
that's not serving us.
Yeah, so hard to change.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So then the one we want,
uh-huh.
You would think, well, you know, okay, I'm doing it. I've got it, you know, I'm doing this new behavior. And forget it once, forget it twice, and it's gone.
It's gone, right.
Now,
yeah.
What's going on with that, you
uh-huh.
know?
Yeah.
If it weren't for some kind of magnetic pool or something to the...
Yeah. Well, and I think it's as other folks have talked about, we really do need to train. If
yeah.
it's new, you know, it's like anything, like a sport, like a hobby, like a whatever it is. If it's new, we really, really have to foster it, like a relationship.
Exactly.
You know, I just met this person, you know,
mm-hmm.
Everything's brand new. There's a lot to discover. You know, we're really going to have to, I don't know if work at it is quite the right word. Because
well, no,
relationship,
it's training.
Quite
it's
lovely,
training.
But it's training.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the interesting thing is, unconsciously, we've trained ourselves to do the other.
Mm-hmm.
Or we've let conditioning train us to do
mm-hmm.
it. And you know, and that was fairly simple. We slipped into it.
Well, for so many of us, those things were, we were trained, you know, on those things when we were teeny tiny.
Right, right.
Before we had any say in the process.
Through all our life, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's so, it feels, and it, I know it's not exactly really, but so difficult in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing on training I saw too is that I was watching this woman teach a dog training class.
Mm.
And it was so perfect because it was just like how we mm. could train ourselves, you know,
mm.
in that sense of being consistent,
mm-hmm.
kind,
mm-hmm.
Rewarding the
what
good
behavior you want.
Behavior
uh-huh.
you want, and being very consistent with the behavior you don't want.
Yep.
No.
Nope, not doing that.
No,
nope.
Yeah.
Not doing that.
No,
not doing that.
No,
not doing that. No.
And just staying with it. And it was like, I thought, gee, this is just perfect. You know, this is that compassionate self-discipline.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
We
no judgment when we do the other thing. No meaning behind it.
Right.
Nope, just no, not no.
And the dog's not bad. They're all these cute little tiny
yeah.
things, you know. And
yeah.
Okay. It, you need to sit up, you know,
yeah.
and it was just really, actually it was very helpful to see you know, to see that in action because of that.
Yeah. You know, the very simple example of that, we talk about when training the attention to be here, especially in meditation, it's just like training a puppy.
Yes.
So when you're training the puppy to come to you, you always have to have the experience of coming to you be one of happy and rewarding.
Exactly.
And, you know, if the dog finally runs to you, what took you so long to get here? Right?
Yeah.
It's not going to want to come back to
right.
So.
He's scolded for not coming in. Yeah.
Which, you know, when we're not present, that's what we want to do. You want to wring its little neck, right? But we have to really have that same relationship with ourselves of, well, you know, in my case, of course she's going to go off of court because her attention has been trained to do that. So every time she comes back, hey, welcome back, great, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, so we're very willing to do it for, you know, our cute little animals or somebody coming on the description of having an expensive, if you own the Secretariat, you know, that horse, would you feed it garbage, you know, that kind of thing?
Uh-huh.
No, you know, you just take really good care of it. And, you know, that we have to
same applies here.
Sort of thing for ourselves in all directions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So,
thank you. Thank you. Krista.
I have a fun story to share.
Okay.
So, I just turned 50 recently. And
happy birthday.
Thank you. Exciting. And I really like it. And, you know, I'm a twin, so we're getting ready to have the celebration, so I'm making a slideshow.
Well, that's 100 years.
Well done. That's 100. And so I'm looking through all these old photographs to create the slideshow. And there's photographs from when we were very small that I never saw before.
Mm-hmm.
And in all our lives, we lived in this story that we were loved. And our father abandoned us, and, you know, it was like this whole, it's like the lens through which my whole life was lived. Mm-hmm. You know, if something must be wrong with me, or I'm not that, or else I would have been loved, and I'm not, you know, it's through, like, underlying and viewed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept me from, I mean, I see with both my sister and I, like, all the achievements that we had, which were significant, weren't able to be enjoyed or appreciated because of that. And in looking at these photographs, it's clear to me that we were loved.
Wow.
And what I see is that our father really loved us. His capacity to love was really, really small.
Uh-huh.
But within his capacity, he loved a lot.
Wow.
He loved us a ton.
Wow.
And same with our sister and our mother and every, you know, like that, like our belief system was just the belief system that from the circumstances, and it can change any time. And I said, I'm changing it right now.
You know, and that's huge, Trista, because that's the choice a lot of people don't make.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And I see, so I was with my family this weekend, and I told them at dinner, I said, this is what I saw.
Wow.
You know, when I looked at all the pictures, I looked at the letters, I'm like, we were totally loved. And I looked at, part of the slideshow is going to have video, and you know, I was an ice skater, and all my years of ice skating, I always thought I was never good enough. Mm-hmm. And now I watch the videos, you know what? I was very good. But I still am, I just ice skate. I'm quite good as an ice skater. And to not, like, to be skating and not have that story of am I good enough, and like, I'm a good ice skater.
Yeah.
It's all, you know.
Yeah.
I'm allowed and I'm a good ice skater. It's like a non-issue, you know. And then it just creates this really different, like, feeling in my body when I was skating. And it's a visceral feeling in my life. Like, I'm loved. That story, like, the story only maintains itself as long as it gets told. Tell a different story, it's a different life.
Well, and I'm imagining that all the practice you've done over the many years has allowed you to make that choice.
Well, I would say.
Because, I mean, one could look at
those... Because I didn't start practicing yesterday.
Exactly. And, I mean, one could look at those photographs and see all of that and see the ice skating videos and see all... and still not decide to make that shift.
Right, because I have watched videos over the years and thought,
you know, it's pretty good. Why couldn't I see that it was good then? Like, why couldn't I live in the fullness of it then? But now I look at it and go, that's just good.
Yeah.
And now I have a story around it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, that is amazing.
It's huge. It's so great. It feels like the best gift ever.
Yes, a very good birthday present.
A very good gift.
Yeah. So both the, well, there's so many things in it. Just the gift of finding those photographs, going through them, watching the videos, and the way that you're actually able to be present now and see what's actually so in those. So to have the gift of having that kind of story, the lens of that story removed, so that you could actually see that. And then the third part of actually having the practice available to you, the foundation, in order to integrate that change.
Yeah.
And to be able to feel the difference inside of you physically.
Yes.
I mean, that's a really, really big piece.
It's really
to
neat.
Actually feel the physical difference of what that allows for you.
And there's another piece of it that we had a sister that died, and we, I mean, our belief and feeling was that she hated us. And then in those pictures when we were little, and there's pictures of her playing with us, and then I found these letters that she wrote me before she died, and it was obvious that she loved me, and that she just lived in the same story that we lived in, and she didn't have a way. I mean, she was trying to find a way out too, and that it's all like this sad illusion that people live their whole lives in, that we don't have to.
We don't have to.
It's really a gift.
It's a huge gift.
And it makes a really big physical difference. Like I notice, I noticed that the belief of not being loved creates a type of physical tension that has to be overcome. And the feeling, like the feeling of knowing, of love, and this is coming back to that as a practice, as opposed to the emptiness of the other, creates a feeling of relaxation that doesn't have to be overcome. It's like just this solid place of being, that's all okay.
Yeah, you know, it takes me back to what you're talking about in your years of ice skating, of not being able to see what a good ice skater you were, possibly for that very reason, that there was this, it was always that experience of overcoming the I'm not loved place.
Exactly.
But this,
trying to be good enough so that I could be loved. Yeah. I used to say it.
Trying to
when
be
I
good
learn
enough.
This thing, then I'll be good, then I'll be loved.
Wow. Never realizing that it's backwards. As long as that I'm not love story is in place, it doesn't matter how. I could win the Olympic gold medal, and that's not going to happen. That story is going to stay intact.
Right. Well, I would say hearing that story, like hearing that line and getting it, is what led me to commit to practice.
Wow.
When I heard it and I saw that there was, you know, that I had so many skills and was so good and had done everything and still couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And was getting older and more injured and, you know, my body was in more pain and there was no end.
Yeah.
And I knew that I had to make a change.
Yeah, that's a really good commercial for awareness, because that's my experience too, that the first huge step, I mean, the step really, is to just, it's kind of like Skoya was talking about, have the willingness to just turn and face squarely that I'm suffering and what's going on. Because that's really, really seeing that, getting that, is the place that the motivation to make a different choice comes from. Not because I should or it's the right thing to do or the good, but just because, wow, I see where that's headed and I just don't want to go there. So now I'm willing
to. I do see, you're right, it's not, I mean, like, so when I saw it was when I was 29, and I could see, I mean, I remember hearing the voice when I learned this, that I'll be good and I'll fill up. When I heard it for the first time when I was 19, and then I woke up and heard it when I was 29, again. And I'm like, oh, nothing's any different. And it's 10 years later. What, am I going to wake up in another 10 years and be in even more pain?
Yeah, right.
Like, where's it going to go? There's no, and so it is an advertisement for, and that's when I changed my life.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah. And it takes a ton of practice. You know, when we get it, we get present to it, and now's when I commit to, okay, I'm going to, you know, change how I'm living my life so that I can make these changes, so that when I see things like, wow, I really was loved, I can integrate that. Mm-hmm. I can have that be a part of my experience.
Right. Right, as an advertisement for practice, what I see is that practice becomes like this home. It's like they talk about the refuge,
mm-hmm.
and it is more compelling. Mm-hmm. And the refuge is more compelling than a novel.
Uh-huh.
Like, yes. My mom just said when I was just there, she said she just read this cute novel. She thought it was so great, and I said, "Oh, that's great." She, that's nice. And I thought, you know, there's just no way I'm going to read that. If I have time, I want to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to sit and be, and mm-hmm. you know, do a little stretching and do some meditating. Like, I don't want to read.
Yeah.
I want to be.
Yep.
And that's a shifting of the mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. the.
Yeah, and the good news is that, you know, there's never anything we have to give up because it's the right thing to do or the good person. It's just a progression of what I want. So it sounds like for you, you don't want to spend your time reading novels anymore.
But if I had more time, I would.
Right. If I had two 24-hour periods every day.
Right.
Then,
right, but life is so full.
Yeah.
And so in the discretionary time, I want to, like, fill the well again and just be in that space of that fullness of that love and come back to that remembering.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. Thanks for sharing the gift. Rebecca.
That was really, it opened up a bunch of stuff for me too. And I've been mulling over the last email class and just sort of looking at what is that lie that I think is what the assignment is, to really face it.
Uh-huh. What is the, let's see if I can remember some of the language.
Yeah.
What is the lie that, Ashwin can probably help us out,
that is behind the reason that the voices can get you into identification again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. That really, really compelling one that we believe every time, even though 3 seconds later we could say, "Wait, that's a complete lie."
Yeah.
But we keep falling into it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the addiction.
It's like the addiction.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, what dropped in one day when I was kind of walking, it dropped in was this belief that from my family of origin, I was the youngest of five, and so it was like it was sort of this resignation that these people can't really be trusted, but I think I need them.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, but I need them.
You felt like they can't be trusted, but you knew your survival depended on them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so how that translated in, and so then I, after that dropped in, I was looking at the projection mm-hmm. in that. So where I went with that was, I got to be needed.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was somehow, and I really am not clear exactly in this moment of how that clicked together in my little brain, but it was somehow I was resigned that my survival was I just have to be useful to these people.
So they're not trustworthy. So you need some strategy in order to, because you're dependent on them. You got to survive. So okay, I'll be needed.
Yeah.
So they'll depend on me. So I can be whatever I need to be, so that they can depend on me.
Yeah. And what dropped in just as you were playing that was there was a real, must have been some real deep belief that, because I clearly do not get what is going on here.
Uh huh.
You know, uh-huh. I mean, because this is making no sense to me.
Uh huh.
And so fast forward now all these years to this moment, and mm-hmm. the pattern is still playing out that,
sure.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing the old behaviors of trying to be of use, of trying to be helpful, trying to, you know, be a contribution, trying to all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And where it's getting me here is painted into a little corner, because mm-hmm. it just doesn't work here.
Uh-huh.
That behavior isn't rewarded here.
Right, right. So the monastery is not set up to support survival strategies. Shall we say?
Little games with our ego minds. Yeah. And so, what the gift that kind of has been—it's been kind of right out here. And I've been watching it. Is that quote from Saint Augustine of "Love God and do what you will"? Because when I get painted in that corner, it's that horrible place of, I don't know what to do, and nothing seems to be working, and I don't know what to do, and it's, you know, and it's just sort of that awful
straight jacket, exactly. Yeah. Which, if we could just step back and see it, that would be the best place in the whole world, right?
That would be the best place.
The best place in the whole world, because it's right. I don't know what to do. I don't know. The whole thing's breaking down. It's like, yes,
yeah.
Finally, you know, this system that I've lived inside of my whole life, which is this tiny little place of living, is so not where I want to live. It's my life could be much bigger and freer and open than that. So we almost have to get to the point where that doesn't work. Because if that keeps working, even on some tiny level, we stay invested in it and we keep doing it.
Yeah.
So getting painted in that corner in a way is a really important first step, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. And 10th step and 20th step. Yeah, you know, right. To keep going, to be
sure.
Just be perfectly willing to get painted in that corner just as many times as it takes is what I find very, I feel like very helpful attitude, which is sort of that Augustine quote.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And what Sherry has been sort of kind of drilling into us, I think, like, especially it seems like lately, is, you know, all this other stuff, just be here.
Yeah.
The one question is, mm-hmm. am I here? Mm-hmm. You know?
Just in the present moment. Mm-hmm. Not off in a story, thinking, planning, ruminating, worrying, even just chit-chatting about la-la or this or that. Just here.
Yeah.
Just doing what I'm doing. You know, my hands are doing this. I'm right here. I'm smelling the air. I'm just present.
Yeah. I'm just here, I'm just present, I'm doing whatever it occurs to me to do. And that's why I keep saying this, I think, that if I'm going astray, somebody will tell me.
Exactly.
And it'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I just keep going back to that reassurance that someone will let me know.
Someone will let me know.
Terribly bad.
And
in compassion, I should say, you know, because otherwise it wouldn't feel good to rest in that. Uh-huh. You know, it would feel like scary.
Uh-huh.
But and there's something in what was just shared about the gift of going back and seeing, oh my God, I've always been so fine, you know, I've had experiences like that too, and it's that, let's see if I can articulate this, that same feeling free and out of the corner, out of the painted corner, is that phrase, love God and do what you will, is offering me right now, is the same kind of elation that I projected on that. The story was never true.
Mm-hmm.
It's just elation.
Uh-huh.
And when we just kind of slip into that or somehow. Uh-huh.
So it connects back for me where you started with, because it's the lie, isn't it? That seeing through the lie of, I don't know how you would express it, something around, you know, you have to be helpful in order to be loved, or however that would be for you.
Yeah.
That's the lie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what paints you into the corner.
Yeah.
And then realizing that that's untrue, that that is a lie.
Yeah.
There's no way to be painted into a corner if that's a lie.
Oh, I'm so glad you replayed that, because what that just crystallized is that, yeah, the lie is you don't really know what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So you better just be of use to somebody so they'll keep you alive.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so what the truth of that, what the truth is, it's like, honey,
everybody's just making it up as we go along.
Nobody knows what's going on. You know, yeah. Really, that's the fun of
it's
life.
It's called being in the moment.
It's right. It's called being alive. Yeah. We're all creating everything yeah. all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the fun part.
It is fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
True.
So, it's interesting, so there were many things that came up in group today that speak to what I was looking at. And the thing that I was watching is fear. Mm-hmm. And the content is irrelevant, but there's a challenging medical experiment mm-hmm. that I'm part of right now, and in going through it, the you know, our practice is one of losing one's mind. And I'm having a physical experience of that. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And all my life, my survival strategy mm-hmm. is being the person who's together. Mm-hmm. And like the gifts that have been talked about, uh-huh. it's a tremendous gift to be able to be present uh-huh. to that survival strategy not working, because I actually am.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You actually are
losing my mind.
Uh-huh. I see.
In the sense that I'm not able to be present in or present the identity, the personality in the same way.
Got it.
Right.
Which has always been your survival strategy,
right,
the one who has it together.
Yes, no matter what's going on, mm-hmm. this person can always be relied on. Uh-huh. And going back to what we shared before, being an Anya type 2, we have to be relied on in order to be included.
Got it.
And I was given some guidance which really changed the way I've been practicing through this process, which mm-hmm. said, it was said, if you want something, it has you. Mm-hmm. Because then you can be tortured over it. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, I actually understood what the Buddha said, that the root cause of desire is the root cause of suffering is desire or wanting something. Uh-huh. And I was trying to look at what it was that I wanted so much uh-huh. in yeah. this whole process. Mm-hmm. And it drew me to fear. Mm-hmm. And what I was afraid of was interesting. I was afraid of losing my mind,
okay.
of losing some aspect of me physically that would make me dependent on someone else, mm-hmm. right? If I go blind, what mm-hmm. am I going to do? If mm-hmm. I lose a kidney, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And so, and then something else was offered to me, which is, why would you care?
Mm-hmm. That's big.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. well, if our practice is thy will be done, mm-hmm. and my job, my only job,
yeah.
is to go whatever life wants for me.
Yes.
Whatever that might be.
Yes.
That's all I want to.
Wow.
And that could mean anything, from being in a street corner with nothing, mm-hmm. without my eyesight, mm-hmm. without my mind. Mm-hmm. And then what would that look like?
Uh-huh.
That the true freedom that we're really practicing is to be able to be in that wherever life wants for me.
Uh-huh.
And that is not resisting life, right? The, mm-hmm. the resistance that we all live at every level, whatever level it is I want it to be different. Mm-hmm. I want something to be different mm-hmm. than what it is. I want to fix it. I want to change it, I want to fix myself, I want to change myself. And that's the want. That my ability to control the circumstance is what it tortures me over. And to get that, my God, that at that basic level, mm-hmm. I'll never be free.
Right.
And to realize the gift of being given this process to come to pure freedom.
Wow.
And look at that primordial fear mm-hmm. and just go, well, I get to practice mm-hmm. just whatever life wants. Mm-hmm. I have to align myself with that, whatever that might be. And I have no idea what it is.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And that's really the thing, isn't it? Is that we don't know. We don't know in any moment what life has. And that the guidance you received is, if we want anything, we're not free. Yes. Because we can be tortured by it.
And the only thing that we want is what life wants. Uh-huh. And in that alignment, mm-hmm. there's no torture. Uh-huh.
Yeah. If we want whatever life wants for us. It reminds me of the, Cameron, would you be willing to turn off the fans? I think we're having some noise competition. It reminds me of the story that I've only ever heard Sherry tell, so I don't know it directly, but the one of Jesus where I think the disciples are saying,
yes.
you can't
yes.
go there. You yes. can't go there because they have this whole plot to kill you.
Yeah.
And he says,
Father, if that is your, if that is my Father's will, I better hurry. Yeah.
That's exactly what
the experience is like. And to me, it ties in a lot of what we're talking about, right? Because the fear keeps me from having that experience of freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
From receiving that gift, mm-hmm. from really doing what I've committed to doing in my life.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which is to completely surrender to life and wake up and end suffering. Mm-hmm. And if I'm being prepared for that through this process, right. amen.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, and that was powerful what you just said, that if there's any, so here you are, you've committed your life to this endeavor, to completely letting go of the small will into life's, thy will be done, into what life wants. And what an amazing thing that is, ending suffering. But if there's even just a tiny identification with wanting anything, then we don't get to receive that gift, that choice.
Mm-hmm. And when you said that, the irony is interesting because the holy idea of my Enya type is holy will.
Uh-huh.
And it just dropped in. That's interesting too. I think I was looking at this yesterday when we did the cocktail party about what brought me to this retreat. Mm-hmm. And it's a larger question that I don't actually know how throughout my life I came here. Mm-hmm. I've never had a career plan or anything like that. But the next step has always been available. Mm-hmm. And there's life. I remember receiving that guidance when I did this retreat from my facilitator, which was just mind-blowing at that time, that there is a divine will that mm-hmm. will lead you, you'll be led.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've been sitting with that in thinking how perfectly life is guiding everything for me.
Yeah.
And that makes it so much easier to relax into my will and all I want is what life wants for me.
Uh-huh.
Because I've never had the experience of that not being okay, no matter how uh-huh. challenging the circumstance. The support was always available. Uh-huh. I was always adequate to it,
uh-huh.
which I think someone else said, or yeah. you said to someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
And the final bit, I was reading Category this morning, and there was a quote there about clarity,
mm-hmm.
that we from a conditioned perspective, we look for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We look for logic. Mm-hmm. We look for cause mm-hmm. and effect. Mm-hmm. But clarity is the ability to see what is so.
Mm.
And what is so is what's just the truth of the moment.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't matter how I got here or yeah. or why yeah. something is happening.
Yes.
Because the only thing that matters is that it is.
Uh-huh.
And in that, there's such a mystery.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so sort of coming home to, mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah. And you know, sorry, was there one?
Yeah.
That as you say that, that it's so clear also that the only way to suffer is to leave what is.
That's right.
To go think about it or have an opinion about it or I wish it wasn't or it was different before or I want it to be different later or I don't want it now. But if we're just right here with what is, there's actually no way for suffering to be there.
Yeah, I can't want it to be any different. And being and seeing the truth of it sets me free.
Yeah.
In that very beautiful way that the next moment also is free, mm-hmm. but it could be my last.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's our time. Thank you all.